everybody. Welcome to Marvel Movie News. Today, we're talking about Doctor Strange, Jessica Jones, Black Panther. We're talking about the trailers. There's so many. There were two last week. Guardians and a little film called Logan. Stay right there. We'll be right back.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk. We talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talks.
I said Doctor Strange, and I just, like, stopped.
Yeah. No, that was so good. That was so good.
I just stopped. I was like, we're going to talk Doctor Strange, and are we really going to talk about anything
else? I think Marquis and I are seeing it a week from today.
Yeah,
so.
I
know,
we're seeing it
and
Tulsa.
I know, and I would be going, except
IMAX
I have...
3D.
I'm so excited.
Oh, I have so much...
Oh, this guy's
so
getting married, isn't he?
Yeah.
Stuff to make.
Yeah, you just don't have the time.
I know.
I was trying to see it Friday so we could do like a no spoiler kind
I know.
Of reaction.
I was hoping that we could do that off. Yeah, because that's at 2. Yeah, I was hoping that I could pull that off, but
yeah,
whole thing.
Wedding.
Okay.
But I love her, so it's worth it. All right, so we are the Marvel Movie News. This is episode 105 coming to you live from nowhere. I thought nowhere would be a good...
Nowhere?
I feel
nowhere.
Like we're there.
Yeah. Okay.
We've been there before, but...
There are so many different trailers and so many different
places
that we came from
Department K a couple weeks ago. We haven't come from nowhere in a while. I thought that was a good idea.
I like it.
So on Marvel Movie News, we tell you all the news from all the studios and why you should be as excited as we are. Subscribe to us on iTunes at Marvel Movie News or find us at youtube.com/Popcorn Talk Network. You can also find us through their website, popcorntalknetwork.com, on Twitter at Marvel News PTN or at The Popcorn Talk. Facebook is / Marvel News Show. And guys, if you'll tweet a link out to our show with a message telling people about the live chat, Doom will retweet you from his booth in Latveria.
Doom demands tweets.
Doom, would you say that you're in Latveria today? Or are you broadcasting from Department K?
I felt it was time to go home.
Yes.
Very well.
For a little bit.
Are we going to get to see the face of Doom later? Is that going to happen?
No.
No.
Doom is having a bad hair day.
No, oh. Doom never has a bad hair day. Doom has the perfect hair, no matter what his hair is doing.
There's a reason that I hide it behind a mask. And a hood, let's say that.
Well, I'm Matt Key at the Matt Key. We're joined by Koy Jandro at CoyJandreau and Markeia McCarty
at MarkeiaMccarty.
There's a cadence there. I'm picking it up.
Yeah.
I'm picking it up. In a few weeks, I'll be able to do it.
It almost threw me off to see you mouthing the letters of my name.
Sorry. My voice was coming out of your mouth. We've also got the voice of Doom in the booth. As you've already said, hello. We've also got Colt Badoa tweeting from the Star Jammer. He's our social media guru, tweeting from the Star Jammer, which is located somewhere on the East Coast at this time, I believe. So anyway, you guys have anything you want to talk about before we jump into it?
I don't have my laptop today because motorcycle stuffs and walking and shenanigans, and don't park on the streets of Los Angeles because your motorcycle might be driven over by a moving truck. But in the meantime, I'll be on my phone not ignoring you but live tweeting, so don't look at this as a negative. It is a positive. I'm trying to stay in touch.
Yeah. And by the way, I would like to point out just very quickly, like, we do all have screens in front of us, but we are all 100% still paying attention.
Yeah.
But
for you.
I've got the rundown in front of me and Twitter. Marquis is watching other social media, and Koy is watching our YouTube comments. So don't think that we're not paying attention to each other.
We're here for you.
We are actually multitasking on a very high level. So.
Yes, we're doing it.
Also, we're going to talk about Doctor Strange to open the show. But before we do that, we are, of course. Stop it. I only get a couple weeks of this, so stop. I would allow you to do Deadpool like for 4 weeks. Like, hey, it's a month of Deadpool. Let's go. Like, you're faulting me for two weeks.
Someone's in trouble. We have Deadpool news today.
We do. But that's later in the show because it's a bigger story than. If we start the show with it, it's not a bigger story.
Wait,
okay?
We just admit that Deadpool's a bigger story than Doctor Strange? Uh-oh. I think
it,
I just heard some stuff.
It is.
What?
Because
I'm
we. but about Doctor Strange, a lot of you international fans are going to see it this week. Some of you are watching it right now, which I don't fault you for missing our show to watch that. But please, I will legit not have the chance to watch it until Friday night. When I see it at the El Capitan with Brittany and, like, I think 15 other friends are joining me because they want to watch my face melt.
I'm coming.
You are?
I might be coming.
Oh, I hope you are. Yeah. But I will not know what's going on. So please, I swear to God, if you post a spoiler to Twitter, I don't know what the consequences will be, but we will figure it out.
Yeah.
Doom will Ben Hammer you so fast.
So please, okay. International fans, I know that you're excited. You want to share your excitement with us. The only thing I want to see on Twitter is, oh my God, I loved it. Anything beyond that is a spoiler for me. So,
because we're going to wait until, we're seeing it next week, but we're going to wait until the 8th to have our spoiler show.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. So please respect my wishes with that. I very much appreciate it. And I know all of us do as well. And I hope you enjoy the movie.
Seeing it overseas, seeing it first, you know.
With great power comes great responsibility.
Very nice to that, Doom.
I love that Doom is in the booth and he's kind of like a morning drive rock DJ.
He's DJing hard. He's like, sound like. He's
like this.
Baringa! All right, guys, let's get back on track.
Baby and the dingo.
It's like that, but all of my...
Baby and the dingo, yes.
It's sort of like that, but all of my sound bites are nerdy and Marvel.
No, dude, I'm not complaining. I'm legitimately giving you a compliment. I think it's great. All right, so like I said, we're going to start with Doctor Strange, and there's not a lot there. But the reviews thus far are very good. I have not checked Rotten Tomatoes today. I'm going to go do that right now, actually. But as of yesterday, it was sitting at a 95%.
Not a bad place to live.
Not bad at all.
With, I think, like 20 reviews in. Yeah. So it's not a lot, but...
Hey, it's not bad.
But 95.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good thing everyone's being paid off by critics, because otherwise it just had to be a good movie. God. I mean, it'd be crazy if it was just good. What a crazy concept. There's got to be money involved.
You know, now, films are not intrinsically good. Yeah, you know, I'm just kidding.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm not even going to try
to... It's not even ironically, Joe.
Doctor Strange is 97% right now.
That's amazing.
Okay, that's great.
Yeah, that's 97%.
With how many reviews?
That's what I'm looking.
Four reviews.
37.
There you go.
36 right, fresh, right. 1 rotten. No. Let's go see if we can find who the rotten one is, so everyone can tweet at that guy for being an idiot.
Matt hasn't seen the movie. Right is now. Already upset.
Yeah, no. Yeah, we are at war. Who are we at war with? I'm gonna go find this out.
I can't. You're gonna focus on that one person.
Having not seen the movie, we'll focus on that one. 38. 38 people have sent in their review. One of them is meh, and it's Scott Mendelsohn from Forbes. I should have known it. Mendelsohn!
Dance off, bro.
Everyone go tweet at Scott Mendelsohn that he should change his review.
Key confirms Battle of Forbes. Key confirms.
I haven't seen the film. For all I know, I'm going to walk out of it and be like, Forbes was right. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that'll happen.
No, it won't happen.
No.
Mrs. Wedding, heartbroken by film. I didn't know I could lose love like this.
Yeah. I'm so sorry, Brittany. I love you, but I'm a monster.
I can never love again.
Oh, my goodness.
I've been hurt. I've been scorned. So, Doctor Strange news, Wong was confirmed for Infinity War, as was Cumberbatch. Cumberbatch was rumored for it. It seemed like he said a few things that seemed to hint that he was going to be doing the film. Right. But just this week, he admitted at I can't remember what conference he was at, but he was like, yes, I'm definitely in Infinity War. And Wong also confirmed that, I believe, to comicbook.com. So Doctor Strange and Wong are both in Infinity War, which is exciting.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think any of us are surprised by that, but
well, no,
you know, Wong a little bit more,
really,
like not too much, but like mm-hmm. a little bit, like, oh, cool, that's not surprised, like, what, but surprised, like, oh, that's cool, I like that.
Okay, it's like, you know? Nice addition,
yeah. Oh, okay, well done, Marvel. Slow applause. Doctor Strange is like, well, yeah, no, duh, like, you're idiots if you don't. Yeah, this is the Doctor Strange credits.
Oh, I was like, we got some crazy slow jazz.
Yeah, no, this is the Doctor Strange in credits.
I have an amazing shout out real quick.
Yeah.
Ian Strang's girlfriend is driving so he can watch us while they're on the way. So they're like listening to us in the car and she's driving. So shout out to Emma for driving.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Shout out to Emma.
Now we are car radio DJs.
Yeah, we are. Wow. Well done, Doom. Well done.
Nice. And to bring it back to, of course, Doctor Strange, mm-hmm. The words of Matt Key, what are you going to do? Throw a vibranium shield
at Dormammu? Nice pull. That's a good quote. Who said that again?
Some wise sorcerer.
I don't know. Hmm.
Probably some jerk. It was probably some jerk who stuck on himself.
We had a really nice reveal for you at the end of the show. No, not yet. Don't show them.
Oh, no.
No.
I wasn't supposed to see it.
That's part of the social media part.
I wasn't supposed to see it. I didn't see it. I didn't see nothing.
You have to prep Doom for surprises.
I didn't see nothing.
I said at the end of the show.
I didn't see nothing.
I went to Chimichanga's before Deadpool, and I made it an experience. Is there anything a fan can do to prepare for Doctor Strange besides find their astral selves?
I think that they can go to a Tibetan shrine and meditate.
Okay, that's easy. That's totally doable.
Yeah, yeah. Because you know how like there's a Tibetan shrine on like every block.
Yeah,
so,
especially
in LA. I mean,
Go find a Bodhi tree, sit underneath it, meditate for a day.
Actually, you know what? I have found meditating to be quite useful for my crazy brain. I would love if everyone before they saw Doctor Strange just try to meditate once, because I'm really curious your reactions.
Dude, honestly, a block from my house in Pasadena is the Pasadena Buddhist Vihara.
Awesome.
And they've got a Bodhi tree in the back. In their backyard.
That's wicked.
And it's open to anybody. So like I'll go that. Like I go up there once a week and just chill under the Bodhi tree and just meditate for 20 or 30 minutes.
Not a sponsor, but Headspace is an amazing app that helps me meditate. That's like 20 minutes of guided meditation.
It's great.
It's well worth it. It's so good. Also, not to, you know, encourage drug use, but acid.
We're not encouraging that, by the way.
This is a with Toy's face. Not to encourage drug use, but acid.
Those are the hosts only, and not necessarily. Doom is on point today.
Yeah, nicely done.
Well done, Doom. All right, so
and Kundalini yoga. That's awesome with meditation.
Okay,
yeah. Don't do drugs, kids. Stay in school.
Okay, so while we're on the subject of Doctor Strange, they released a bunch of high def pictures last week. Mm. One of the pictures that no one said anything, no one saw anything. But it showed a picture of Wong holding a relic. And that relic looks exactly like the Wand of Watum. Go ahead and show that real quick, Doom. So there's that. We can barely see it.
We have a dark screen. But
we have a super dark screen and lights shining on it. Doom, can you show the comic book version of it? All right, so you see that golden thing? It's got the demon heads on both sides.
That's cool.
That's the Wand of Watum. The Wand of Watum is one of the most sought after, most dangerous relics in the Doctor Strange comics. So to see Wong just like holding it like, what is this, is exciting to me. I don't know if it plays a part in the film. I don't know if
it's a great Easter egg.
It's just a really stupendous Easter egg, but it's a hyper powerful, like, so Watum is one of the eight main deities. Like when Doctor Strange is like, by the winds of Watum, he's like summoning like this deity, this principality that sort of has control over the Earth's weather in a lot of ways. And the Wand of Watum is his totem. Like, all of his power is in that wand. So anyone who wields it is basically a demigod. And one of the other powers that they can use the Wand of Watum for, that I think they're probably going to use it for in the film, is you can, like, whisk yourself away to the far-off reaches of the universe on the winds of Watum. So it's like, it's sort of like the warp whistle in Mario 3. Like, and then the tornado comes and, like, wipes you away.
Yeah.
It's the wind of Wand of Watum.
I love that, and I love the analogy.
Yeah, that's a cool thing.
Yeah, and if you want to know more about the Wand of Watum, there is a wonderful article that geekgirlauthority.com has written by.
Who wrote that? Probably some jerk. Probably some total freaking.
Why
jerk.
Why do you ask questions? To
Oh, Ian McKellen, you're delightful. All right, so let's move on. That's all we've got for Doctor Strange. I'm jealous that you guys get to see it a few days before me.
I'm not excited. It seems very ironic, though.
It is.
Yeah.
You've seen Deadpool a month before me. Like, even a week Doctor Strange for you would be like a full, like...
Oh, dude, it's going to kill me. It's going to kill... Like, if you've ever wanted to figure out a way to torture me, just text me every day like, dude, that Doctor Strange though, right?
I think,
like,
I'll probably send
you haven't seen it yet.
I'm going to send a random out of context screenshot of the end trailer, end credits.
Oh, wow.
Literally just the knowledge that I've seen it without any spoiler. Just like, look at that black screen. You know what that black screen follows? Doctor Strange.
Doctor Strange, which I just saw and you did not.
I might have seen it twice before you, because I'm going to see it Thursday.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, actually.
You're unbelievable.
I'm gonna see if they are.
But you haven't seen it through my eyes yet.
That's true.
There we go.
That's going to be, you're both going to be there, right? On Friday night?
So
yes. I'm planning on it. I gotta buy my tickets.
The coolest thing is my dad has only been to LA
once. Is he in town?
in 7 years. He's coming out for the second time for one day, and that's that Friday in between a business trip. Ooh. So
he's got a
cup. So cool for me to bring my dad and Dr. Strange.
Well, and it's El Capitan.
Right. It's such a
and there's
going to
be like a bunch of really cool people there.
Right. He gets to meet my friends, get to experience Dr. Strange with my pops at the El Cap.
Go get tickets.
It's
go
real
get
cool.
tickets now.
I want to
because it's selling out. All right. We've got to move on because we are 15 minutes in and we've talked about.
And we've got a full show.
We've got a full show. Jessica Jones. The entire second season is going to be directed entirely by women, which is, I think, happened once with a TV show. Ava DuVernay's show on Oprah's network.
Queen Sugar?
I think so. I think
is that it or is it the
I can't remember the name. The I just remember she was the one who was like, no, I want the entire season directed by women. Which,
that's awesome.
Yeah. Heck yeah. Get it. Like, let's do that. Get more female voices out there.
I still want Lexi Alexander to direct Blade.
Oh man, I want her to direct every episode of Punisher.
Ooh yeah, I just like her and like she loves Blade and the fight scene.
Does she really?
Oh yeah,
no, I didn't know she loved Blade.
She's
that
on
much.
Twitter a lot, like yeah, and her and like Wesley Snipes I think would be like really good working together, and her like martial arts background and Lexi make it happen.
Yeah. So I mean, there's nothing else to say to that except. Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. Of course. Like, we need that perspective for a show like Jessica Jones in order for a show like Jessica Jones to do well.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. And then, why not? There's been entire seasons directed by men.
Yeah, exactly.
Have one directed by women.
I think that has happened before. What
yeah,
a crazy
I
concept.
I think it has. Somewhere within the history of television.
All men directed?
So weird. Hmm. But apparently, just to go a little bit deeper into it, the showrunner, Melissa Rosenberg's initial idea was... because so many female directors are in demand, you know, right now. So she was like, well, let's get as many as we can. And then whatever remaining holes we have, we'll throw some men at it. And then one of the people on the show was like, no, screw that. Like, we've got enough lead time. Let's do every episode. Let's not, like, let's do every episode. She's like, you're right. So thank God. Other news, Black Panther, Letitia Wright has joined the cast in an undisclosed role. Variety broke the news, as far as I could tell. Charles Lee at @GoofyFan_Chuck.
Oh, she's so cute.
Oh, she's the best.
Yeah, look
says,
at that smile.
Letitia Wright has been cast in Black Panther. She's 22. I'm calling it Shuri.
Yeah, which is a very real possibility.
I think that's a great possibility.
It's great
If you're not familiar with her, she's also part of the Doctor Who universe. She's
the Hooniverse.
The Hooniverse. She was in Fear the Raven, which is part of a Clara's storyline where she has to. Well, she has the. I think it's called Face the Raven. Mm-hmm. It's either Fear the Raven or Face the Raven, and she plays Aniston, who is a part of that storyline. I don't want to give it away.
Sure, but she's in it.
But she's in it. Yeah.
She's also already been cast in Ready Player One in one of the main roles there. Being directed by Steven Spielberg.
I'm pretty excited for that movie.
Yeah.
I like that book. If she is Shuri, which is definite possibility.
Man, I want her to be. Want her to be Shuri so badly. Like, I want Shuri in this film, and I don't even know why. I just
because she's amazing. That if
no,
you if you
no,
see
I
any,
know, but like I don't you, know like what a, story they're doing. Like, I,
yeah,
like,
I know, but like anything should income. It's like if there was any video game ever that had Shuri as a playable character, pick her.
Yeah,
I mean, oh my goodness. All right, just we're like a
no,
little
do it,
a
do
little
it. Like
thing.
I nerded out on Doctor Strange, go for it.
Yeah, a little quick thing with Shuri. Yeah, she wanted to be, you know, queen of Wakanda, you know, as in the Black Panther for like forever, for her entire life. There's a point in the storyline where she gets the nomination to become Black Panther and goes through the trial. Takes a heart-shaped herb, and Bass, the panther god, refuses her because she's so arrogant.
Oh, that's so awesome. I didn't know that storyline.
Yeah, but no, the thing of it is that this was like Morlun was, you know, Taren.
He
was Taren, but through Wakanda at the time. So she actually was like, well, then screw you. She put on the Black Panther suit anyway and went out and defeated him.
Oh, that's so awesome.
Yeah, and then afterwards she gets
amazing. Was this the priest run, or was this, what would that
yeah,
be,
this is after Namor is brainwashed, and she actually gets the nomination from Queen Aurora.
Oh!
Yeah, so this is like
back in the
head.
Okay.
This is like, okay.
Cool.
I agree, Langley. I really wanted Lupita, and since she isn't, I would love this because I think Lupita Nyong'o as Shuri would have been amazing. But
I think she's
Nakia. She's like Dora Malahi, right? Dora Malaye? Am I saying that right?
Well, that's like saying she's a warrior.
No, I know, but she is one of the Dora Milaje, right?
We don't know, but there's no confirmation as far as I know.
No, I'm pretty sure she is. Okay. Milaje?
It's been a long night.
Dora Milaje?
There we go.
Oh, Dora Milaje. All right.
Okay.
She's in it. I'm happy. I love her.
Yeah, all right. Do you want to say anything? I also hope she's shirt. That's like, I would love to see two Black Panther level heroes fighting like Killmonger. Like, that's, I want to see that like tag team, like taking it to Michael B. Jordan. Like, I think that would be great.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And then
every time we talk about the cast, I'm just like,
I know, it's so good.
Like, yeah, Michael B. Jordan fighting. I'm like, yes.
All right. So, Black Panther. We also want to cover very quickly this week some actual comic book news. Marvel pulled the variant Invincible Iron Man cover that was done by J. Scott Campbell. J. Scott Campbell is very well known for portraying females in a bit of a sexier manner, typically.
Super busty and a buddy.
Super busty. They usually have like very curvy hips, very much the way that that Riri is shown here. But in this instance, it's not necessarily the best because Riri is a 15-year-old girl, not a 30-year-old woman.
Yeah.
So, you know, we don't want to necessarily like overly sexualize someone who's 15.
I like J. Scott Campbell a lot.
He's a nice guy. I've met him a few times. He's like, he's good friends with Brittany. Like, he's a very nice guy, and his art can be very well done. But
it's just the character that's a tricky. His style. Therefore, I think that style shouldn't be used in that. Like,
Know. And there's almost something to be said for like Marvel. Why would you go to J. Scott Campbell and draw like a 15-year-old girl?
He draws.
Like,
yeah, and then you kind of see like the comparison of the variant covers, like because he tweeted out like, "Hey, I was going off of this cover," and he's got the Jeff Dalak. I think I said that right. I hope I did. The Jeff Dalak variant cover. I think I gave that to you. I'm not sure. Doom, I'm sorry if I didn't, but it's the one where you have like Tony Stark huge in the background, and then a very intense Riri, and she's huge afro, and kind of more of a mature face in the crop top. And if that's the one that he was going off of, and he's just making something in his style, then of course he would have that variant cover.
Of course.
I mean,
I see
the progression of it. If he didn't see the inside art, and that I did give you, Doom. The inside art by Stefano Casili, if I said that right. He's,
we're pulling
that's
it up right
one.
Now, everybody.
Yeah. But the inside art, she's very much a 15-year-old girl.
Yeah.
I mean, and then to talk, like, there was that whole hashtag that came up, teens that look like teens. You can still, that's the Jeff
Dalak. But here's the difference with this cover. In this cover, yes, she's wearing, like...
You just started...
Sorry, that was, I don't know how that.
Well done, dude.
You just
well
saw
done.
Tony Stark, and he's like, "Yeah,
yeah, you started a war." And this cover, she's 15. Yes, she's young, but and yes, her outfit is
Well, it's a crop top.
It's a crop top, so it's like sexy adjacent, but it's not sexy. Like it's not like cropped at the belly.
It's not V going down to places.
Yeah,
but
here's what that, even with all of that, it's still a powerful stance. It's, I'm Riri Williams, I'm Ironheart, like I'm going to go kick some booty and win the day. And this one is, hey guys, I'm Riri, come talk to me. I tweet and Instagram, like that's what that is, you know, so.
I'm still bummed she's not called Iron Maiden. I get upset about it every time I see Ironheart. I'm like, it's right there.
So anyway,
clash of songs, Iron Man and Iron Maiden. It could have been a whole thing for me.
Oh,
could have had a soundtrack.
I love that.
The dream's dead.
But yeah, I mean.
Anyway, so
the armored version is still going to be at Midtown Comics. Though.
And the armored version is armored version is cool. I like the armored version.
Yeah.
So and like, there's been a lot of cries against like the actual quality of the artwork. Some people are like, J. Scott Campbell, you're better than this. Come on, like. So and it is a bit of a rush job, and he even admitted that on social media. He's like, hey, I had like so many. I'm sorry.
I'm J. Scott Campbell. Yeah. I draw a lot of comics.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's more than likely. I mean, just compared to other. Teenage variant covers.
Yeah.
So it's just like, Squirrel Girl is 14.
Yeah, exactly.
Kamala was 16, and it wasn't like that.
But
I like his Mary Jane because she's a mature married woman. God damn.
while it seems a little strange that Marvel would go to like a man who's known for his art, his very specific style of drawing women with a 15-year-old. Like, even though it's like, I might, well, maybe, you know, you don't go to a pornographer for like an Oscar-winning film, you know. Not that he's a pornographer, Jay Scott. You're not. This is just an example. But it's also like credit to Marvel for being like, oh, yeah, you know what? This actually doesn't work. We're going to pull it.
Yeah.
So like no talk, no contest, no, just, yeah. Nope, doesn't work. We're pulling it. You know, so credit to them, but also, huh? So anyway, yeah. In sadder news, we lost one of comics' most notable artists this week. I actually still have not heard any.
Yeah.
I don't know that they've announced it. Maybe they have and I've just missed it. But Steve Dillon, the artist behind Preacher, has passed away. I think he was like 56. He was in his mid-50s. So still,
young, man.
Still relatively young. But he's one of the more seminal artists. Like, it's a 2016 loss in a year where we're losing Bowie. You know, so many other, like, Prince, Gene Wilder, of course, we've lost.
A combat titan.
I mean, yeah. 2016 has been heck of a year.
Violent.
Yeah, like, 2016 is very much like, oh, maybe God does exist, and he wants all the cool people in heaven right now.
Like, yeah, like it's some slow-action rapture going on, and the rest of us have not caught on.
Yeah, exactly.
We're not worthy, man. Okay.
But, no, I mean, like,
well,
Preacher,
I haven't made a Preacher, so.
That's true.
But like, just to put it into context for anyone who doesn't know history or anything else, like, Preacher in the mid to late 90s was the book. Like, if you talk to anyone doing comics today that was raised in the 90s, Preacher was the book they wanted to be doing and writing.
Oh, that's great. Cassidy feeding.
Yeah. So.
Tommy D said, complications to a ruptured appendix.
Ooh. Mm. Oh, man.
That's scary. Take care of yourself,
Thank you,
guys.
Tommy. Thank you for that. But yeah, we wanted to note that his passing, it's very sad. The some of the Punisher stuff that he drew is some of the best stuff that's out there. And the Daredevil, you know, that Daredevil scene where he's chained up and everything? That's Dylan, you know? Yeah. So, you know,
where it's like, I have to make that decision every time.
He was on Wolverine for a while, if I remember correctly. It was a good run, too.
Yeah, Wolverine Origins, yeah. So, big loss. Big loss. He also did Animal Man, Hellblazer over at DC.
Mm.
So he's done some really big names. All of them, like, very gritty and real.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. So it just goes directly with his style. So condolences to his family and all of his friends. So
yeah, and thank you for Preacher.
So. Yeah, thank you so much for Preacher. Yeah. Go stop what you're doing and go read that.
Yeah, or watch it.
The first season's it doesn't follow the comic exactly, but the first, you know, I don't want to like give you spoilers, but
go watch it. It's watch good. It for Ruth Negga and the interaction between Fiori and what's his name, so LeBlanc. Fiori and LeBlanc,
LeBlanc.
Angels.
Yeah.
Watch it for that, if nothing else.
All right,
Cassidy's perfect. Cassidy's one of my favorite characters in the history of television. Cassidy on that show is love that actor.
Yeah, well, Cassidy, the character in the comic books, is one of the best comic book characters.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like,
but then the translation of that bar being high and then making
like
the
across
show.
The board, it's so good. All right, Doom, do you want to catch us up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? We had last week's episode. We have this week's coming episode. Like,
he's queuing himself.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God, last week we got Lola versus the Hell Charger.
Yeah, so
beautiful.
Good.
On land, so we got the question answered. On land, the Hell Charger wins. Because Lola wasn't flying. But Coulson outsmarted Robbie Reyes. So it works out.
So Lola won.
Coulson won.
well parsed, nice. Sir. Well
the
parsed.
Hell Charger was faster, but Coulson put a Quinjet in his way. So... stopped him there.
Fair point. You parsed it well, sir.
We got that. Then we got Ghost Rider working with S.H.I.E.L.D., which led to the thing that I like joked about seeing, which was the fact that you had two characters on this show who both use a fiery chain to fight with.
Mm-hmm. Loved it. It was awesome.
They faced off, and it was beautiful. So the minute Ghost Rider grabs the chain and just stares at it, goes, huh.
it was a great moment.
Somebody gifted it and sent it to me, and I just watched it on a loop.
Of course you did.
But we got that. We got a lot more further down the line on the Ada storyline, and we got towards the AI and the worries with that. Simmons is now working with Quake. Quake's back into the fold. My favorite thing about this was that there's the two fire guys fighting next to a fireworks factory.
That was a really smart set piece. I thought.
And somebody sent me just fans sending me brilliant stuff. I'm sorry that I don't have your name. They sent me the clip of The Simpsons where Milhouse is watching Itchy and Scratchy. When are they gonna get to the fireworks factory? But in this case, they do. And it's beautiful. And then tonight, we're going to see what happens when Quake gets folded back into the team a little bit. And Simmons is going to have to face a lie detector test because now she knows all kinds of secrets, like the fact that she was helping Quake, a known terrorist, out.
Yeah, she's got a lot of lies to cover.
And we're going to see what happens now that S.H.I.E.L.D. is out of the shadows.
Yeah,
because that has huge implications to the rest of the MCU, sort of, as much as S.H.I.E.L.D. can, like the show. I'm being honest here.
No, I know. I really wish that they could figure a way to coordinate everything, but I don't think we're ever going to see that happen.
But I would love to see one day, what is S.H.I.E.L.D. is now public again. They publicly acknowledge that S.H.I.E.L.D. exists, despite the fact that a smart person would have just rebranded it and with the same people and just call it something new. But Captain America's out there, or he's sort of out there, hiding. But what does he think? He's like, no, S.H.I.E.L.D. That's bad. Tonight we're gonna be talking about it on AfterBuzz TV at a new time. We had to move because I have I'm doing some live sketch comedy now. So if you're in the Los Angeles area on Wednesday, November 2nd at 10:30 at night, go to the PAC Theater.
What's your show?
It's a sketch show with a group called Turncoat.
Nice!
Cool.
Check it out. It's going to be fun.
You're all traitors.
So tonight at 11 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, join the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. AfterBuzz TV after show.
Nice.
It's a full breakdown on this week's show.
Is that all you got for us on S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Oh yeah.
All right. Ew. So I've got some breaking news that just came on. I'm just looking at comicbook.com.
Nice.
Punisher is 100% confirmed for 2017 release.
Whoop whoop.
Which is what we've been speculating because they're filming it now. But here's what that means.
December 31st.
I have no idea. They don't have an actual date. They just say 2017. But we also know that we're definitely getting Iron Fist and we're definitely getting Defenders. So we're going to get three Netflix series next year.
Wow.
We're almost to my dream of one a season. Winter, spring, fall, summer. That's how this order goes because I live in LA. I don't know how it works.
We'll get there.
Want it.
We'll get there.
So excited.
I promise we'll get there. Yeah,
there's three shows, 87 movies, 100 comics. So much content, you guys. There's so much.
There's a lot. There's a whole lot. So anyway, that's breaking news. Now we're going to go on to Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Ah, yes.
We had a trailer come out this week.
There's a little pee coming out of me right now.
Right now.
Right now.
Right now.
This whole show, actually.
Fantastic.
This entire show.
I'm hydrating so I can loop it. It's important.
You're like a broken fountain over there.
Yeah, it's just a really sad fountain.
It's like Waterworld over here.
Gross. You guys are gross.
We're not up there. I get too excited.
Super gross,
goes
you guys.
Full fountain when Deadpool conversations
come
out.
You guys are super gross.
I wasn't going to say anything.
There's a desk for a reason, guys.
All right, so. Skibit da ba doop boop bop. Marquis, why don't you start us off? What part stood out to you? Can I put you on the spot and ask you that?
Yeah, please do. I absolutely love the ending part.
So good. It is so good.
You must find a woman who's pathetic. Like you.
Like you.
Thanks, Drex. Do you want a hug? No.
No.
I do not.
No.
Come here.
No,
come
I do here. Not. I thought I said no.
Because
I just love
so
like his
fantastic.
Arm is just like, oh, this is so awkward. I am not enjoying this.
Oh, I just love how it encompasses those characters, and I love that it looks like an unrequited love thing with Gamora, and she's just such an incredible, you know. I mean, eventually I would love for them to have that whole Infinity Watch thing that she does.
Oh my god. That would be cool.
Oh. And then
every single shot was my favorite shot.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was the most like we had in a minute and a half. All the characters got their moment. It reminded us why we love them, how much we love them. It reminded mm-hmm. us how individual mm-hmm. and unique the characters mm-hmm. are while showing us the scope of this new world. Like, I remember Chris Pratt said it was going to be the biggest spectacle film of all time. Mm-hmm. And then the trailer was like, oh, here's a 1 second flash of a hair flip with this insane yellow background. And you're going to be like, blah, blah, blah. Like, trailer. I've watched it so many times because I'm just like, it's so much stimuli. It's so good. It's so funny. Like, the mm-hmm. Drax bit was.
Yes.
Everything is good.
Well, it was a perfect trailer.
And
it
like, really was. There's actual, like, it seems like there's a small bit of actual wisdom from Drax where he's like, there are two types of people in the universe, those who dance and those who do not.
And that, you know, that's so true.
Yeah.
And then it's so like, true.
Don't you want to see where he gets that knowledge from?
Yeah.
You know, because he doesn't have a filter.
No.
So he saw something or he did something and I want to know what it is.
What is it? What did he do? What has he experienced that he knows this?
Exactly.
Drax dance sequence, please.
I actually wouldn't mind that at all.
Yeah.
I just can't get over how... I keep saying this, so it sounds like a lie, but every so often I get the fatigue, not superhero bubble fatigue, but just mm-hmm. like, we live in a world where there's so much great content that it's exhausting because there's so much to receive. Mm-hmm. Every time a trailer is this good, and also the Logan trailer, which we'll get to, I'm just overwhelmed with glee mm-hmm. because we won.
We won.
The nerds won.
We
nerds
did.
We won.
Because this is the best. I mean, some of the best content is superhero films, mm-hmm. and like they're not letting them rest on their laurels. Like mm-hmm. we're not mm-hmm. just being like, oh, this will make $500 million because it's the first one was good. Mm-hmm. No. We're challenging ourselves to make it better. We're gonna do a great movie. We're not just gonna assume because it's a franchise. And that I think is the difference between Marvel and some other sequels. That I like a lot of film companies that make sequels. Like, we didn't need Die Hard 5. I didn't need that in my life. Yeah. But like, this is
a
movie.
Was there a fifth one? Oh, there was.
Yeah, there was.
Right.
I just remembered.
That wasn't even hyperbole. I'm serious. Die Hard 5. But like, this is a thing that's it needs to exist, and they're making it happen, and they're not letting it be a cop out. And it looks great.
Well, and I think mm-hmm. that's very much the influence of Kevin Feige, because he's gone on record saying like, we don't make the sequel unless we know a whole other story that we want to tell. Like, what's mm-hmm. the story that we actually want to tell for this sequel? Like, we don't do it just because, yes, we're going to make $1 billion, and yes, of course, we want to, who doesn't? But, mm-hmm. like, what's the story first? Like, they were probably, I mean, they were working on a Guardians sequel, like, years ago.
Right. And that's why they're an empire. They haven't fallen yet, because they care about each and every installment. There's not, like, weak legs and weak links. Like, even the worst Marvel movie is better than a lot of action tentpoles.
Yeah.
Even the worst.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of people in the chat room, yes, Baby Groot in the little jacket.
Oh, like, talk about merchandise. Oh my god.
I can't wait to have a kid to dress my kid as Baby Groot.
Oh
and
my
they
god.
They know that about me. They got me, man.
Marbles in your head.
They're like,
it's all that acid they must be
They're
doing.
They're like, have them pop out a bunch of kids. Once again, kids who do not condone acid use.
Yeah.
But like, I really think that like, it's the best way to sell Disney toys by also being canon. Like, I'm real mm-hmm. amped, and I'm like, I saw a voice crack. Yeah. I saw a kid mannequin dressed as a Rocket Raccoon, and I literally almost turned my motorcycle around and take a picture to send it to Brittany because it was the cutest thing in the world. And like that just shows me like the culture is ready.
Yeah.
Mm. We're here. This is here.
Wait, are you saying the culture is ready for Brittany and me to have children?
Yep.
Okay. Okay.
Spoiler
good to know.
Alert.
Good to know.
Koi confirms. The
culture is ready. Okay, good.
It's going to be a zeitgeist shift, man.
Yeah, so hurry up and do that so we can see, like, baby Key Groot pictures.
Oh, man, he would be the cutest.
Oh, yeah.
Let's just go ahead and rush into that big life step for baby Key Groot.
Yeah.
Which also sounds like a fantastic alien
can
name.
I know baby Key Groot. This is so completely off topic, and I apologize. But the other day I was working on wedding stuff and like we've got to get permits and everything because of the size of it. And we're having like a weird venue. Mm-hmm. So I'm working on the permits, and that's been like the last 2 months is just like getting these permits handled on top of everything else that we're doing on top of planning the honeymoon. I was just like, oh my God, okay, we're doing da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, going off the checklist. And then I was like, and then, like, then we'll be married. And it, like, hit me. I was like, oh my God, like, we're doing all of this to actually get married. She's going mm-hmm. to be my wife. Oh my God. Like, I haven't even had a chance to let that sit in yet, to sink in. And it was just, like, this beautiful, like, it's okay. Aww. Everything's okay. So,
That's fantastic.
A lot of gif-able moments today, you guys. Yeah. We're having some beats. That was the coffee and the love.
All right, so let's go back to speaking of love.
It's the name of my album. It's the coffee and the love.
It's the coffee and the love. Sounds like an album that Milhouse's dad would do. It's the coffee and the love.
Nice Milhouse dad accent.
Thank you.
I was thinking like Kenny Loggins. I was making this way for you, man. I was trying to maybe a sax solo.
Super not cool. Super not cool. All right. So one of the things that I liked about this trailer versus even the Logan trailer, because they both came out, mm-hmm. and I love the Logan trailer too, but one of the things that this trailer did well is not show us anything that's going on.
Yep.
Yeah.
This trailer was very much, hey, remember that movie that you liked a couple years ago? Here's those characters again. And it's the same tone. Ta-da! You know, like, even like...
Pre-buy your tickets.
Yeah, you would buy your tickets now if you could.
Oh, yes. Yes, I would.
And even at the end, like, the very last line of the entire trailer is, you're welcome. Like, and I can't help but think that's very specifically on purpose. Like, you're welcome. Like,
and that poster, of course.
Of course. Like, yeah. Of course. You know, so like... That's one of the and again, I am not pooping all over the Logan trailer. Because the Logan trailer was great. But that is something like, you watch that Logan trailer, you're like, I think this probably happens. I bet this happens. Mm-hmm. I think this is probably the plot that's going on. But you watch this and you're like, apparently Star-Lord and Gamora have like this weird unrequited love. And there's a planet at one point and Rocket shoots a hole in the ship. Okay. Like, and he smiles about it, and Baby Groot wears a jacket. Like,
yeah,
Nebula. That's all we know. Yeah. Nebula has a hoodie on, and she's like, "What?"
To be fair, Guardians is out in May, and Logan's out in March.
So very fair. And like, the second trailer will probably show
exactly Logan's only 5 months away, man.
I know, dude. And that trailer looks great. We'll get to that. We've still got a little bit more. Yeah. So one of the things that I love about this poster, it says we're doing volume two.
Mm-hmm.
I love that it is almost an exact ripoff of the Ramones Rockets to Russia album. Yeah. Like, look at that. Like,
I mean, you can practically hear Do You Want to Dance in the background.
Yeah. And like, even like, and I'd never put this together, but I almost wonder if like the font and not the font, but the coloring of the in May, like the trailer itself, like, you know, the galaxy won't protect itself or whatever it is that type says, is that same color as the Ramones out, like, name in that album. I'm like, I wonder if that's on purpose. At least it looks like that to me. So maybe I'm colorblind and I'm just now learning about that. Another thing, a friend of mine on Facebook pointed out, my friend Carl Lucas, not to be confused with Luke Cage, but he is Carl Lucas.
He's a Burning Man
friend of mine.
I bet his parents.
He works in special effects and films and stuff like that. One of the things he pointed out about the trailer is that he loved seeing them walking around giant trees and in a forest and everything else, because it just makes the scope that much bigger and broader.
100%.
And it's not like so much can get lost in green screen, as he pointed out, and I totally agree. So like, to have these big set pieces like this is awesome, and it just it's like, oh, they're visiting other planets and everything. So real quick, I wanted to point out with this trailer, because I saw footage from San Diego Comic-Con, so I think I can contextualize some of this.
Cool.
The scene with by the way, if you don't want to know anything about Guardians, this is spoilers right here, but I'm barely going to talk about any. I don't think it's that much of a spoiler, but...
Diet spoilers.
It's like diet spoilers, yeah. So just skitty, ba-da, FYI. The scene with Yondu Udonta, played by Michael Rooker, and Rocket walking down the catwalk when dudes are falling all around them, that's a breakout scene. That's like, that's them breaking out of prison, so at least... That's how it was contextualized at Comic-Con. So Yondu and Rocket are both put into prison on the Ravagers' main ship because there was a mutiny and they didn't like Yondu's direction, so they threw him in prison and they took his whistle arrow off of his head, so he couldn't use like that. And all of the Ravagers are terrified of that arrow because they know what it can do. So he's in prison. Baby Groot, in the meantime, they're like, well, we can't put him in prison. He's too tiny. He'll escape. Mm-hmm. But we can't kill him because he's too cute. They actually say that.
Aww.
We can't kill him. He's too cute.
That's amazing.
Let's wait on it and figure it out. So they just have him on a nightstand next to them while they sleep. He's just like, meh. Oh, so he jumps down, runs to the prison. And Yondu, over the next like few minutes, is like, no, get me, go to this room and get me this thing. And Groot just keeps bringing back the wrong thing after the wrong thing. He just keeps getting it wrong. He finally brings back the right thing. And it's the Mohawk that controls the arrow. So he puts that in, whistles for the arrow. All the Ravagers are like, oh, crap, we're dead. Oh, expletives. And Yondu like, and Rocket walk into that main corridor to escape the Ravager. And he just like whistles the arrow back and forth and kills every Ravager on the ship. And they're just falling off the catwalks.
Which is as they
slow motion walk out like a couple of bad A's. So that's that shot. The shot where they're on the planet that we were just talking about, that was the lead-in shot for them going to meet Kurt Russell. So that might very well be
Ego
the planet. They might very be on nice. The living planet itself going to meet
that's
Kurt Russell's father.
Oh, man.
Very cool.
So, but that's all the context I've got. But I do think it, like, the entire trailer seemed to be parsed out, like, Gamora, Star-Lord, Gamora, Star-Lord. Yeah. Here's a couple others, Gamora, Star-Lord, Gamora, Star-Lord. Then it's like, there are two types of people in the world, those who dance and those who don't. So I think there might be some unrequited love stuff. I think that's going to play into the relationship that Star-Lord and his father have.
I think Ego dances.
Oh, Ego's definitely a dancer.
He's a dancer.
He's Captain
totally
Ron.
A dancer. He's totally Doom and I were... Captain Ron. Good pull.
Doom and I were talking about how much more Chris Pratt looked like Star-Lord. Like how it's just like there's a total vibe of, or as
totally.
As Koi might say, a Star-Lord-ness.
Mm-hmm. He looks just more like a space pirate.
Yeah, like he's got that flavor.
With the shorter beard.
Yeah, exactly. The beard, the swish in his hair.
Yeah, like he feels more like the comic version, and the comic version feels more like him, so they're slowly becoming one person.
I'm going to have to rewatch this movie now. I'm going to have to see Volume 1.
I know. Oh, you poor woman.
What have you done to me?
He's
made
like...
me more nerdy than I already was.
That can only be a good thing.
Like, he just look has at that. Such a... Man, he's a space pirate.
And you know, here's what I... And this is going to sound maybe a little weird. I love that they have space t-shirts.
Yeah.
Like, he's wearing a t-shirt, and it has, like, a logo on it. And that logo is from a whole other civilization. Like...
Right?
It's probably
I think that's awesome.
I went to this place,
and
all I got
was this planet, and all I got was this crummy t-shirt. Like, I think that's a... I went to this weird planet and got, like...
It's like a band tee of a planet. I love that.
It's like they went to one of the Star Trek Next Generation planets.
Yeah, oh, my God. Oh, my God. If they went...
If they
dropped, like, a Vulcan or something like that. Like, oh, and I think that we see the reverse angle of this shot later in the trailer. We see this. And then we see him, like, looking out of a weird-looking hole, like when he's back on the planet, like, later on in the trailer. So this starts it, and then later on we see him.
Do you guys think that's Nowhere?
No.
It maybe it's not Nowhere, but, like, it looks like it could be another piece of the Celestial, just because the holes, almost like Swiss cheese pattern, looks like membrane.
Maybe. I kind of just thought that was, a whole other planet. So, but maybe, I mean, I wouldn't be disappointed if it was Nowhere. I love Nowhere.
And maybe they found the body part of that, the Celestial head.
That would be awesome. One last thing, the Gamora scene where she's and she pulls that sword out. I think that is followed by, if I remember Comic-Con footage correctly, that's followed by Star-Lord going, you have a sword? And she's like, of course I have a sword. And like, they have this weird banter back and forth about it. I think. And then this is also the scene, you know, that concept art that we saw of that weird giant space beast coming down?
Mm-hmm.
This scene was immediately like there's kind of a camera pan up and you saw that giant space beast coming
space
down.
Beast.
So I think this is the opening action set piece
that makes
for
sense.
This film. Because nice. I also know that in this scene at the Comic-Con footage at least, we saw Aisha. The character Elizabeth Debicki's playing.
Okay.
And she's kind of ends up being the villain. So I think what happens is she calls in the Guardians to help them, like, fight this extra-dimensional portal beast.
Mm-hmm.
And they fail or something happens. And then she's like, there's collateral damage. I'm coming after you. I don't know. It's all very, like, foggy. But that's kind of what I'm putting together for now. So if you're looking for a good Guardians comic to read and the Bendis run is you're through it or you're kind of in the middle of it or whatever, also go check out the Dan Abnett run from the mid-2000s. It is, to this day, one of my top 10 favorite storylines.
Oh, nice.
From Guardians of the Galaxy volume number one all the way to the Thanos imperative, that whole run, with the exception of like they have like a couple of like Secret Invasion comics here and there, like those tie-in books, but with that out of the way, like that whole run is great. It's great, and that's the run that started the Guardians.
Yeah,
because before that you had like Charlie 27, Yondu Udonta, Major Victory. Like you had these weird heroes from the 31st century, and I think from what I remember of the rumors from the Marvel offices, they tried to make that film work for 2 or 3 years, and that's couldn't get it.
That would be kind of ambitious.
Yeah, and then finally Nicole Perlman went to them and said, "Hey, so Dan Abnett's doing this comic with these characters. What if?" And they were like, "Yeah, give it a shot."
And then magic.
Scoosh. Yeah, so.
Okay.
Let's talk. Do you have anything that you wanted to talk about? You just said, okay, I want to make sure I'm not running you over.
The only thing, I know Dan Abnett from, he did The Story of Martha Jones, which I really enjoy.
Oh, yeah?
It's one of the Doctor Who novels. Mm-hmm. It's just before Last of the Time Lords.
Abnett's a big writer, yeah.
Yeah, right before Last of the Time Lords. And it's just, it's about Martha Jones, where she travels the world for that year, telling the story of the Doctor.
I love that. And that was like, one of the stories that I wish that they had done in the TV series.
Yeah.
Lastly, we see Rocket at the end shooting a hole, and he gives a little smile, and that's great. All right, so now we can talk about Deadpool, Koi. But it's not good news.
It's such not good news.
It's stupendously not good news.
I'm really upset.
Yeah.
So
this is how I feel. This is to Tim Miller.
Yeah.
We'll miss you. We know that you're still with us, but we know also that life will never be the same without you, and we'll never see that vision, that powerhouse flavor and style and poise you brought to a film that changed my life. And, well, I hope you move on to better things and find someone new and someone to care for, but I'll never be the same.
Koi misses you, baby.
Oh, we shouldn't laugh because it is actually sad news.
Yeah, no, it is.
Director Tim... Wow, I wrote it Tim Miller, the rundown. Tim Miller. Director Tim Miller had to exit the Deadpool sequel due to creative differences, sadly, with Ryan Reynolds.
Yep.
And that royally sucks because the impression that we all got was that like those guys were like super-duper besties for life. And now there's like a butting of heads, and like according to rumors from sources on the inside, the two of them haven't spoken to each other like in months. Like,
yikes. But the four of them made that. Like, it's the two, and that's why it's such bad news. I'm a bro squad that's amazing, and like when four homies make a movie, it turns out like that. Like a movie,
I know.
You can tell that movie was made with pure love and chimichangas, which is what I'm about. Mm. And it's like losing the cheese and the chimichanga. It's just not the same.
It's tough.
So I don't know. I mean, I'm excited.
We're still going to go see the
film. I'm still going to twitch every time the Deadpool 2 concept comes up. But it really is interesting that we have a movie that was in a superhero genre. You don't really see such clear fingerprints on anything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like when we lost Edgar Wright on Ant-Man, you could see where Ant-Man had been an Edgar Wright film because he's that strong of a director. I feel like with Deadpool, we saw a four-person team really shape something. And like everyone involved with Deadpool, from the best boy to the extras to the director, made that film what it was. I'm really curious what the next one's like without such a clear voice. Or who they get next, or who could even fill those shoes, or who
so
will
let me
get
throw
along
this out
as
there.
Well.
Yeah.
What if they got Edgar Wright to direct Deadpool?
It would be very different, but I would be very excited. I love Edgar Wright,
and
I love
Deadpool.
What if
they got Quentin Tarantino? Because there's apparently a petition to get him to direct it.
Don't
whether that'll work, but
want that.
Yeah, kind of like I think that would be a Tarantino film, not a Deadpool film.
And I want a Deadpool film, and that's what made Tim Miller perfect, because it was his first film, so he could make a movie that didn't. It felt authentic to both what I imagined his vision was and the character.
Yeah.
Whereas I feel like a director like Tarantino with such a strong flavor that makes one universe.
Yeah,
I mean, it'd be great because then Samuel Jackson being in both would be canon.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we'd lose a lot of what makes Deadpool Deadpool. And I love, you know, Kill Bill's action scenes and stuff. And I get there's like, you know, swords. And I get
Tarantino's a fun director.
Right.
But his films are very specifically Tarantino.
Yeah.
So personally.
Grindhousey. You know, like it's a certain style. It works great.
And it works great for Tarantino. But I don't know that works for Deadpool.
And, so. You know, I really, the way he handled the breaking the fourth wall was unique, and the way he handled the tone and the walk and talks and everything else was great. But I don't know. I think if they're going to get another director, they either need to go super stylized, like Tarantino, but me personally, I would prefer not, or they need to go with a director that's an unknown and give someone else a new chance. Because I think it'd be really cool to give another unknown director.
Well, and one of the things that works so well about Tim Miller was that he did like so many of the special effects stuff almost for free, just because he's like, this is my movie, this is my baby. Mm-hmm. Like, that ended up saving the studio and the production costs so much.
Right.
But it was also like, he knows what he's doing because he owns his own special effects house and everything else.
He visualized
else.
So the
like,
whole thing before he made it. And
I almost wonder if like getting a special effects, like a director with a super hard background in special effects like Tim Miller.
Right.
And then allowing Ryan Reynolds to be Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
Like, no, just no, turning him loose.
Yeah.
Right.
I think that might be the best way to go. So
there are two directors I think that are super stylized, that their style I think lends itself well. And one of them is who the live chat is going crazy about. I think Matt Vaughn would be incredible.
Oh, yeah, he would be.
Because he loves would be really that good. Kind of humor. His style is amazing. Kingsman is one of my favorite movies from that year.
And he's in with Fox.
And he loves comics. Mm-hmm. My other one is I am a big, and this is controversial because his last films haven't been as good as his early ones in most public opinion. I love Guy Ritchie so much.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And Guy Ritchie and Matt Vaughn have a very similar
Lock,
style.
Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels.
And Snatch and the underrated Rock and Rolla. I think having a movie that's that frenetic energy, that kind of comedy, that insanity. Guy Ritchie makes movies that are full crazy. Mm-hmm. Like Brad Pitt.
That would be a good fit.
Right? Brad Pitt and Snatch that is like one of the best Brad Pitt is Brad Pitted.
Yeah.
I think Guy Ritchie might be out for this one, though, because Disney just locked him into one of their live-action remakes.
Yeah, I think he's doing Aladdin.
Yeah, oh, that's cool. Like, Disney's not going to let their...
Not gonna be like,
oh, my God.
Disney's going to let them go do a super violent...
A Fox film?
Yeah, Fox movie.
I mean, he's a super violent director. It's not like they can be like, hey, everything your brain thinks, not anymore. Like, I think if the timing lined up, he'd be great. I mean, it's not an option. It's my
Clearly,
dream.
You don't know how much power Disney has.
They're brainwashing Guy Ritchie as we speak. They're like, you did not marry Madonna. No, but I think
Vaughn,
those,
I like.
Those two guys, I think, could be the
like
style
Vaughn.
I want.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
Yeah. So let's go over just real quick what happened. Reynolds renegotiated after Deadpool for casting approval and creative control. Like, some semblance of creative control. We don't know the specifics of it. But that is, like, so Tim Miller had full-on control of the first film. But now he's having to share that with Ryan Reynolds. Ryan Reynolds has very specific ideas. Ryan Reynolds was taking the route of, at least according to all the rumors from the rap, Ryan Reynolds was saying, no, I want it to be a raunchy R-rated comedy. That should be the focus. And Tim Miller was saying, no, it should be a stylized action film. That should be the focus. The first film combined those two elements very well.
Yeah.
But now each one of those voices is trying to pull a little bit too hard.
Got it. Yeah.
And the studio typically would side with the director and let the star go, but the star in this case
is the guy that
is the guy
man.
It's the
Kevin
lead,
catch
like,
it alive,
yeah, yeah, so you kind of can't do that. Apparently the big breaking straw was Tim Miller really wanted Kyle Chandler for Cable and Reynolds did not. I don't know, like,
I'd have to see screen test. I'd have to see it all.
Yeah,
I don't know if Kyle Chandler was ever confirmed to be playing Cable, if it was always just the rumor that was the name, but apparently that was kind of the breaking point. So
what I'm reading is that, like, that casting is because it sounds like because that was what the fallout was. It wouldn't make sense if they were going to stick with him.
No, exactly. And that's kind of what I'm thinking too. So
Miller.
But Domino screen tests are still going on, and according to the rap, they're with actors. There's a lot of them.
Yeah.
Kelly Rohrbach, Eve Hewson, Ruby Rose, Mackenzie Davis, Lizzie Kaplan, Mary Elizabeth Winstead, Sienna Miller, Sophia Boutella, Stephanie Sigmund, and Sylvia Hoax. So
I like Sophia Boutella out of that, definitely.
Which one? Oh, she's, no, you're right. Now,
right?
She would be good.
She'd be great. She was what's her name? Jala in Star Trek Beyond. She's also the bad guy enforcer in Kingsman.
Yeah, she's great.
She's the one with
Matt
the knife legs. Yeah.
Get Matt Vaughn involved, then cast her. I mean, I really like Sienna Miller, and I love how Ruby Rose looks. I haven't seen a lot of her work, but she's super striking.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with half of these.
The rest of them, Sienna Miller sounds familiar.
She's been around forever. She was in Casanova, the Heath Ledger film. She was in G.I. Joe. She was in... Yeah, that's right. I just referenced Heath Ledger's Casanova, which hasn't been done since it came out. You definitely know her work. She's really good.
Yeah.
Okay. And then Lizzie Kaplan's great. She's really funny, and she's charming, and she's killing it on her show. I'm just worried about the director. Like, I mean, I trust casting if Ryan Reynolds is so involved because he knows that character. It's like, I don't think Deadpool himself wakes up and will mess up a Deadpool film. But I also, at the same time, don't think Deadpool should direct his own film. Like, I'm literally, like, I'm talking about the character, not Ryan Reynolds. I think Ryan Reynolds is so in the character's head that it's ironic that this is the strife.
Yeah.
But I don't know what direction it can go in because it's such a unique voice. Like, Deadpool can be done so wrong so quickly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So hopefully, like, the writers will keep the ship on course, and that's no matter what.
I
like
think Reese and Paul Ryan Warren, probably, Reynolds will be very involved. I think he'll be very involved in who the director is.
I mean, he was very involved initially, and now, like, that they've kicked the other director. Like, Fox was like, we've got two choices. We chose the star, not the director. So surely they're going to rest on the star to be like, who do you want?
Right, exactly. So I'm really curious.
Who makes you happy, Ryan Reynolds? You prima donna. So Avrian Towns, at Jedi Master Towns, asked who do you think we'll replace him with. I just wanted to acknowledge, we've already asked, we've already answered who we hope that it is, but I wanted to acknowledge that you asked us on Twitter. So
idea.
Thank you.
So thanks. Joe Carnahan, who directed Smokin' Aces.
Yeah.
Featuring Ryan Reynolds. And an incredible performance by Chris Pine. Frenetic action, hyper-violent, super funny, stylized Joe Carnahan.
Who directed Attack the Block?
His name escapes me.
I think he would be good, too.
Yeah. He's great. It was like a very early... Yeah. Oh, man. I agree. Attack the Block would be a great choice.
I'm looking it up right now.
Okay.
The internet is Joe Cornish.
Joe Cornish. He'd be great.
Yeah, he would be good, too.
He was in talks for so many big projects. Yeah. So it'd be, like, clearly he's on a lot of lists.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Anything else before we move on to Logan, our final subject, and then talk to our Mary Marvelites?
We'll miss you, Tim Miller.
All right, so Logan, first impressions, favorite moments, what do you guys got?
Yo, Children of X-Men looks dope.
Dude.
It looks like Children of X-Men. Yeah. It looks like a Children of Men drama dystopian future film.
Yeah, yeah. No, it totally is. It's Old Man Logan. Like, they really captured, like, that whole, like, as you would say, ness of Man Logan.
Would I?
You would. You know you would.
I would.
I love the grit of it. It definitely has.
Looks so gritty.
And it's like, it really got me when it had him next to the graveyard and then drinking. I'm like, I know what this is. I know what this is. I'm not going to say it for this because read Old Man Logan because, you know, it's dipping into that well. But it's like,
that good.
So got me. And I loved seeing X-23 kicking some butt. Like, yes.
She, like, you see her, like, so just, like, scared and vulnerable. And then you see that one shot, and it's very quick, it's like that little sequence where she's trigger. Like, stab, jump, stab. And then you see, like, Wolverine on the floor with his claws, and you see the two claws on the top and then the other claw underneath, like, coming down at him. You're like, she is a feral beast.
Well, she got trigger scented.
Yeah.
So it's like, what's one to do?
Yeah, look at the, that's, and unless you pause that, you really don't see, you don't understand that those two claws, like, you don't see it. Like, you can't see the configuration of the claws unless you pause it. And it's just,
It looks incredible. It looks like an amazing drama that happens to have mutants in it. Like, I just, is the Wolverine I wanted for so long, and I never thought I'd get.
This trailer is. we'll see if Fox is able to nail.
You know what? I'm giving carte blanche. I'm trusting them.
Yeah,
because
so much.
Trailer gives me trust. I am very excited. I think it's going to be as incredible as the trailer is.
So
I might eat my words in a year, in 5 months, and be like, remember that episode?
In March, in the trailer, here's a couple sound bites I just want to throw out. We get confirmation that the mutants are pretty much gone. Like, something decimated the population. They're not being born. The ones that were living are no longer around.
Because of things.
And we don't know what those things... And Old Man Logan, we know why. And this movie, not quite sure. We just apparently it takes place in 2024. And the soundbite was, Charles, the world is not the same as it was. Mutants, they're gone now. So, I don't know.
I don't think this is the case. I'm 99% sure it's not the case.
Percent sure.
Real tired today, guys. I'm sorry.
Apparently so.
Percent sure that. Imagine if, since they still own the rights to Scarlet Witch.
Oh, man.
Just a line of dialogue that no more mutants happen. Can you imagine a post House of M Old Man Logan?
That would be incredible.
Right? Because, explaining why mutants died off with a line of dialogue or a flashback to the end.
Or if they said Pietro's sister, they don't even say, like.
Right. Pietro's sister, no more mutants. We literally have the characters involved already. Yeah. Oh, I'd love that so much.
Yeah, that would. I hadn't even thought about that. That would be so cool.
Because what a great canon way to explain the end of mutants so the storyline works without Old Man Logan craziness.
Oh, so cool. All right.
I want it.
So I think my favorite line in the entire film, or the whole film, I've already seen it. The whole trailer was Professor X saying, she needs our help. Logan says, someone will come along. And then Professor X answers with, someone has come along. And it's like, Logan, yeah. You're it, man. You're it.
Yeah.
Super duper gigantic friend of the show, Alan Sizzler Kistler, the Sizzler, pointed out that he loves the parallel of the very first time we ever saw Logan.
Yeah.
Was in the fighting ring in X-Men. And Rogue shows up, this disenfranchised, terrified girl who has power she doesn't fully understand, shows up and needs help. And he's like, no. And then the very last film that we see Logan is this very powerful, disenfranchised, very vulnerable, scared little girl shows up and he's like, no. I was like, oh, Kistler, I love you so much. Such an intelligent man, that guy. So a couple moments that I saw that I want to point out and get your opinions on. Logan killing someone with a knife, not his claws.
I think it hurts him too much. I think him popping the claws is like a struggle.
Do you think that's it, or do you think
it's... I think it's a moral choice.
It's like, I won't pop my claws anymore like you did in Old Man Logan? Because that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, I don't think... I think it's more like I'm not going to take lives kind of a thing. The healing ability, so it's like a self-preservation thing. Sure. But I think it's more of it's a choice.
Yeah, I think both of those are good options.
I mean, we can see his scars in this one shot, which means that his healing factor is at the very least diminished.
Yeah, well, and we've known that it's pretty diminished. Like, and he's like sore when he's putting that coat on or whatever. Like, he's not in good shape.
I think he's gonna be crying this whole movie.
Oh man,
every shot of Patrick Stewart, I'm like, you broke my heart again. Like, he's in three shots, all of them. Like,
And like, not to mention the score. Like, you're using Johnny Cash, like one of the last songs he ever recorded. Just what have I been? And like that song by itself
they know what they're doing.
Tear invoking. So
I love Trent Reznor. It's a Nine Inch Nails song that Johnny Cash covered. He talked about how Johnny Cash's cover made it Johnny Cash's song. He doesn't consider it a cover. He's like, oh no, that's his song.
I covered it before he ever did it.
We just did it first. And then when you do that well with a song, it becomes that.
Oh my
and then
God,
he's in
yeah.
this movie. It yeah. looks great.
But I have a theory. I have a theory. On the knife and everything else.
What you got?
Okay.
Here's my theory. You see that scene where, like, people are crawling towards what looks like Professor X when, like, that weird psychic storm kind of thing is going on, like, right? I think that storm, like, so Professor X looks damaged. He looks like he's having a hard time containing his power. Like, you see that scene with him in the bed where he's just, like, mumbling to himself. I think he's hearing, like, thousands of voices and he can't control his telepathy anymore. Because he's too old, like his powers are out of whack, the X gene's not working, I don't know, whatever, but he's having a hard time controlling it. I think he kind of has maybe a Dark Phoenix moment, not where he goes to the dark side, but where his powers get so out of control while he's like Logan and Professor X and maybe X-23 are all on the run, and Professor X is like, I can help, but the powers get out of control. I think Wolverine has to kill him, like he killed Jean Grey. He's like, I'm not going to kill you with my claws. I'm not.
Interesting.
Huh.
But I have to do it. And that's why he's crying. He's like, oh, I hate this. Because at the end, I mean, Professor X dies in this movie.
Oh,
there's no, there's no doubt. He dies in this film.
You have Wolverine with a shovel. It looks like, what else? A broom? He has a broom and a forest.
He's got to sweep the forest.
The funeral scene that's like probably,
So like, I think Wolverine on the run, something happens to Professor X. Wolverine has to kill him for some reason. Then finishes taking out, like, you know, Donald Pierce, and then at least like delaying him. And then they bury Professor X. And that's why tears, bloody, shovel, no Charles Xavier.
You're making the chat room sad.
I'm sorry. I don't want it to be the case, but I think that's what's going on.
What if he dissipates into a beam of light and then transfers his consciousness into another body and then inexplicably comes back in the next movie without explaining it? Well, what if they did that instead?
Well, he...
Yes,
I think that's what they should do.
That.
I think that's what they should do. He should just come back. X-Men 3, we remember you.
I
mean, it begs to lighten the mood, guys.
Yeah.
It begs a question, though, like, because it's one of those fun, interesting things to think about with mutants. Like, when somebody's that powerful, like Professor X, what if he just, like, has Alzheimer's?
Right.
Yeah,
and not
yeah
control
it seems like it's that.
If a guy with powers, with psychic powers like that, doesn't know where he is or what's going on around him, or has flashbacks to where he thinks he's like in the middle of like X3 and he has nightmares about X3.
Are remembering confusing timelines.
Yeah. But but it, like, what would he do? Like, who could he hurt? Like, he could kill everyone around him.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
No, that's sure. what I'm saying. Like, I think something really bad happens, and Logan does his best this entire film to take care of Xavier. But now there's no other way.
But he's got
to
do what he is the best at, which isn't very nice.
Yeah, and he doesn't want to do that anymore. He doesn't live that life anymore. But he's got to do it.
Yeah.
So. Okay. Let's not be sad anymore. Let's move on. Boyd Holbrook as Donald Pierce, that hand.
Yeah.
Like, what do you
say? That was super cool. It's like Terminator cool, like original Terminator.
It looks so good, yeah.
Yeah.
And then we've already talked about Daphne Keene as Laura. We also, as comicbook.com predicted, on October 23rd, X23, they revealed, like, on Instagram a picture of her and said, just Laura. That was it. So I thought that was great. But yeah, it looks like they're on the run, and it looks damn good. It looks really it looks super hyper. Yeah, there she is. It looks so dramatic. It looks so sad. Mm-hmm. It looks exactly as tragic as a Logan Wolverine film should be.
Yeah, it looks intense.
I love that. I realized it comes out in 2017 and it's an R-rated film, but it made me feel very old because I realized that people born the year we were first introduced to Hugh Jackman's Wolverine, born that year, could buy a ticket to the movie because they'll be 17 now.
Yeah. Yeah.
That came out in 2000.
No.
People born that year.
Yes, Doom. Yes.
How heartbreaking is that? Oh, let me buy an R-rated ticket because I can. We're so old.
Oh, so old.
Oh my this God, is to too. Age.
We do have a number of Mary Marvelites.
We do. Let's do it. I'm gonna let you take the wheel.
Okay. Doom, for the order of pictures, is going to be that stack of comics. First will be the one. Okay. So for Mary Marvelites, we have shout outs, questions, and comments. So a birthday shout out to Bethany Kettler at Underground Nerd B. Her birthday's on Thursday, and she says you guys are the reason for this ever-growing stack. She sent it's a huge stack of Doctor Strange, Deadpool, Black Panther.
Excellent choices all around.
Yes.
Oh, you're the best. Who was that?
That's Bethany Kettler at Undercover Nerd B.
Bethany, are awesome.
Nice stack, too.
Nice. Good choice.
Sounds like, nice stack.
Nice stack.
Stacks on stacks on stacks.
What's up, girl? Nice stack. Yeah. Oh, my God. That's so funny.
And a definite shout out to everyone who shared the Jimmy Kimmel Doctor Strange sketch.
Oh,
with
I
us.
Know. Thank you. It was
we
so
loved
funny.
All of them.
Yeah, that was so many. And all the gifts. And then, like, special shout out to all of our international fans that won't be spoiling it for their American Mary Marvelites.
Free shout out for not
free shout out for not screwing this up for us.
We love you.
Please don't be a troll. Please don't be a troll.
Yeah.
You can be a troll for so many other things. Please do not be a troll for me, having waited since I was 10 for this movie. Please. Yeah.
So, pre-shout out for that.
Thank you.
It was pretty fun. At Teresa Fortes Luz, she says, no spoilers, or you're all taking a trip to the wonderful Dark Dimension.
Yes.
She's a classic Marvelite. She's a good one.
Yeah. And then Aunt Duck at Quacker Ducker. Everyone
Love
who spoils
Quacker
gets
Ducker.
To go home with Marcus. And that's the Jimmy Kimmel, Doctor Strange.
Throwing him into hell. I love that so much.
Look, Doom doesn't have a Mjolnir, but I do have a ban hammer. And I will wield it.
You have a ban Mjolnir. I do love that, like, Doctor Strange doing that is actually comic book canon. Like, they were like, Jimmy Kimmel was like, oh no, we're gonna dig into the Oath somewhere around book 3 or 4, and skidoosh.
Amazing.
Yeah, love it.
Okay, so moving on to some questions. Michael Blade at Michael B. Ryder. He wanted to know if Netflix would ever do a Night Nurse series. I believe we talked about this last week.
But I do want to point out he asked that, and he and I went back and forth a little bit on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to be a writer, so I wanted to throw this out there to you. If you want to be a writer and you're having a hard time coming up with what you want to write about or whatever else, think about the stories that you want to see other people do, i.e. Michael Blade wants to see a Night Nurse series. If you have an idea for that, write that. It may be awful, but write it.
Yeah,
get it out there, play with it. Because at the very least, And this is advice I should be taking for myself as well, because I'm the worst perfectionist of all time. At the very least, you're going to up your skills as a writer.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be a waste of time because you're going to develop those skills. So if you want to see a Night Nurse thing, chances are Netflix isn't going to do a Night Nurse series.
You can make it.
But write it for yourself. And you know what that might what might happen is that you might figure out a whole other story.
Mm-hmm.
That's not an already known IP that you have to fight for the rights for or whatever else. You might be like, oh, you know what? I actually figured out a really cool way to make a really cool hospital drama. And I'm going to change the names and I'm going to develop a new storyline of my own. And there it is. So do that.
You wouldn't believe how many scripts are literally other scripts that they move stuff around.
Yeah.
Like so many scripts in Hollywood are literally another thing that became a new thing.
Yeah.
And I
multiple times over.
Oh, yeah. Like, I think I'm going to take January off from this frenetic pace I've been taking and write a Spider-Man comic, because I've always wanted to do that.
Yeah,
so
sure.
It's the same.
So anyway,
same jam.
That's writer's advice to you, Michael Blade, at Michael B. Writer, and any other writers that are listening to our show. So
yeah, and I'm not sure who did this next one. Maybe it is Michael Blade again, but it's Takoy. A couple of weeks ago, you wore a Spidey/Cap shirt with Queens and Brooklyn on it. I need it. Where did you get it?
Mary Marvelite Max Herron.
Oh, Max Herron is the greatest.
He's one of our two t-shirt makers. Both are incredible artists. Both make high quality shirts. In this case, TeePublic, I believe, is the website, / Max Herron. His Instagram is Max Herron. He's a very talented man. He also made our Punisher shirts, the one batch, two batch. I cannot sing higher praises for either of our t-shirt makers. They're both great gents. Nice. We hopefully can get like something set up for you guys, but definitely hit him up and I'll hook you up. He's brilliant.
Fantastic. Okay, next one is kind of more of a comment-ish question I got from Charles Lee at GoofyFan_Chuck. And it's basically, it was in reference to the Logan movie, where it's like, Storm, get Storm to the MCU, make her a true weather witch, her ancestors were sorceresses, and get a Netflix miniseries about that. And basically, how do we feel about that?
Storm to get like a Storm Netflix series?
Yeah, Storm solo movie and a Netflix miniseries. I mean, like, I think there's enough. There's enough. There's enough storyline there to be able to do that. I don't think they'll do it.
I don't think that they will. I would love to. Fox seems to be trying to do like an X-Men on their TV. I would love to see them do an X-Men Netflix series.
Yeah, it's made for it. It's a serialized type format. And like X-Men especially, there's so much content. That's why I was never mad at Fox owning X-Men, because it's its own universe and it's big enough. Like there's like 19 X-Men titles.
Yeah.
I would love something that finally crossed over properly between film and Netflix, and Storm could easily be that.
Yeah.
Storm is a leader of the X-Men. She led the team. She has rich history. She has a rich power set. She has a fun power set. She's brilliant. She's tactical. She's got a story that you can invest in. If they're going that way, she's one of the X-Men I would prefer be a full series. Yeah. So yes.
One of my favorite Storm stories that I would love to see them figure out a way to do was the one where it was early 80s, I think. It was soon after she joined the team along with the other giant size X-Men. But Doom somehow kidnapped her. I can't remember the exact specifics of it, but somehow she ended up being kidnapped by Doom, and he encased her like in this metal thing, allegedly kidnapped.
Oh, you kidnap a lot of people, Doom.
Yeah, Doom, we're watching you. Her claustrophobia got the best of her, because she's exceptionally claustrophobic, and her like subconscious started to take control of her weather powers, and she started to create a worldwide storm that was decimating the entire Earth.
Oh, that's amazing.
And the X-Men were like, we now what have we, to go stop Doom so we can stop Storm. And it was like, it was super, I was like, oh my God, this is so good. So I would love to see him do something with that, but we'll see.
Yeah. And knocking this one to you, Doom, at Dallas J. Stumbler asks, Ant-Man series recommendations?
I saw your note on Twitter, so I wanted to make sure that we talked about this on the air. With reading Ant-Man comics is an interesting thing, because Hank Pym never had like a title run necessarily. He had Tales to Astonish, and there is a great collection of Tales to Astonish where they if you look it up on Marvel's app, it says it's Ant-Man, but it's actually they just photoshopped Ant-Man over Tales to Astonish on the cover page. But that's a good way to like yeah. read like Man in the Ant Hill, which is like his first book, and a lot of the older stories. I'm actually enjoying the Scott Lang run right now. I'm a little behind on it.
Yeah, I'm a couple of issues, but it's really fun. Nick Spencer's writing that one, and it's really fun.
Yeah, so I say check out that. I think that some of them are on Marvel Unlimited. And then the big one. Read the two-parter. How to Steal an Ant-Man. From
the Marvel Premiere series, yeah, where they first introduced Scott Lang.
Yeah, the two-parter where they transferred the Ant-Man title from Hank Pym to Scott Lang. It's like the loose basis for the movie, and it's a blast. I went and found my copies of the original books. I have them in like lock and key. This is a weird one, but Ant-Man season one. Marvel did a bunch of these like season ones, mm-hmm. Where they did like a graphic novel that does like a modern sort of like retelling of the origin story of each character, all collected, and it's a great just because it doesn't exist anywhere else. The season ones are a hit and miss. I like this one. It's Hank and Janet and their sort of origin story, and I thought it was a great if light, not too dark version of their story. But it's good. It's a good read. Deals a lot with like the loss of parents and like how they came together. Hank's like losing his first wife, and it's a good story.
I also recommend Age of Ultron was a pretty good read, yep. And that was mostly Scott Lang and or Henry Pym, if that's the Ant-Man you're looking for. Also, Rage of Ultron, which just came out, I believe, last year. I think like January or February of last year, and it was like a self-contained graphic novel that was released, and that is that was pretty good. I can't remember who wrote it, but I remember liking it.
I haven't read that one.
So,
check it out.
Yeah, Rage of Ultron. So yeah, there's Age of Ultron, Rage of Ultron. Those are both pretty good Hank Pym stories.
Yeah, because most of his stories are contained within the Avengers.
Yeah.
As opposed to outside of it. So yeah. Go read old Avengers stories.
yeah, basically. Basically, yeah. Because
Tony Stark didn't invent Ultron Marvel movies.
Marquis, who else we got?
Okay, so we have Berkeley the Wise at K Heavy 6. Can you fan cast remaining big roles in Black Panther, Shuri, Ramonda, and Sian? Shuri, obviously, Letitia White. Sian is I had to remind myself of this one. Sian is the uncle that held the Black Panther title after T'Challa's father died. When T'Challa went off on his journey to become worthy for Black Panther, it was Sian the Swift.
So forgotten that.
Exactly.
Oh my god.
Yeah, he's a very charismatic character.
Berkeley the Wise, you were killing it with the deep cuts.
Yeah, that. I mean, that's great. I don't know.
Funny, right? He's charming. Like he's got a certain like wittiness.
He's suave and he's attractive. He's suave. Oh. He's attractive.
Danny Glover.
he'll just play everything.
Yeah, I just not Donald Glover. Danny Glover.
Oh yeah, because he has to have age on him.
Yeah, yeah, he has to be the uncle. He couldn't just be.
He could do that.
He's a handsome, charming.
He's a handsome,
very
charming,
witty guy.
Yeah, I'd have to think about that one. But yeah. I know Ramonda. Ramonda's the I believe she's the wife of Sian, or she is she's the mother. Something Queen Mother, I know that. Oh, she's T'Chaka's wife.
So
wife and uncle. Not already in Guardians, I'd say Demon Hansu, because he's perfect. As the uncle.
Oh my
right?
God, he would be.
I wanted Demon Hansu for T'Chaka until he was cast in Guardians. But.
Yeah.
Nice. Alfrey Woodard. I want her as Ramonda.
Oh my god.
I want her in everything.
So good.
But yeah, she'd be a good Queen Mother.
You know
character.
Who'd be good? Fan of the show? Damien Poitier.
Ooh.
Right?
I just saw him this weekend. He's
right? Great.
I love Damien.
And Marvel loves him?
For CM?
Yeah. He's a little young.
He's a little young.
Real handsome. Yeah.
But he is a devilishly handsome, very charming man.
Younger brother, and he's in Black Panther universe, and that man should work with that incredible cast and crew.
Yeah.
Tim Coogan, Terry Crews. How is no comic book property snatched up Terry Crews?
That's actually a good point. Yeah.
He just walks through shirtless flexing, just like the Black Panther movie, super dramatic, and he's like, "Aah!" I'm like, "All right, cool."
Yeah, no, that's nice.
He's that uncle.
He's too good.
He's too good.
He's almost too perfect for comic book movies.
Yeah, because it's like he's Luke Cage in real life, so to put him in Luke Cage, just contain him.
Yeah.
Okay, so Doom, next picture cue will be Key as Doctor Strange. Okay, so we're starting to run out of time, so we do have one more question, but maybe we can just answer that via Twitter. It's like, who should be the next big villain in the MCU after
Kang.
Yeah, Kang. And this is Kang. At ZoomCook74.
Kang.
Kang.
There Done. You go. Kang.
Kang.
Doom.
honestly though, I'm still stuck on this the last Avengers film having something to do with Fantastic Four. I think there's a reason it's untitled. I think Marvel and Fox are trying to work something out on Fantastic
Not
Four.
Not mad at it.
And that would mean Galactus and Doom are now possibilities. And I'm dying for that to be the case. So anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, after this pick, the next one would be the display case of figures. Okay, so this is from... Oh, go... Yeah,
no,
you know.
Yeah. Joby One Kenobi at Jobius3000 drew this picture of me as Doctor Strange. It is now my Twitter handle picture. thank you. Thank you. This is... I love this so much.
This is amazing. It's beautiful.
This is how I wish I could read books. Like, when it... Like, at least... Once a week when I sit down to read a book, I picture myself meditating and letting it like float. Like,
don't let Matt lie to you. I've seen him. This is how he reads books. He goes to that tree. He finds his inner peace. Yeah. He goes home and he sits next to his bookshelf and this goes down and there's cats.
Yeah, yeah. And there
right
are
next
cats.
To that Bodhi tree.
Yep, yep. That Bodhi tree. And then Brittany's like,
Brittany comes out.
Stop.
She's in a squirrel girl outfit. It's a whole thing.
Whoa! This just got weird. All right.
I think my sexy shout-out's getting dirty. You should see after the show.
Wow.
Jeez,
fanfics are real. Ooh. I mean, hey, there's a reason he's getting married to Squirrel Girl.
Oh goodness!
She makes right. Someone else
keep going. Keep going.
Okay. And then from Alf Silo, some at CC Games 69. Really nice. He says nothing compares to hearing you guys talk on Marvel movie news every week, and that he finally fixed his collection after a century. And then there's a pick of display great. Case of figures. So yeah, and this.
Oh my god!
Right, look at that. This is so good.
Impressive.
Dude. That is very impressive. Yeah. Sir.
That's like a 90s era cover where they're like, you know, it'll sell comics if we put every ever.
Everyone. Like, this is Infinity War.
That
like,
is literally the every ever. Dude, nicely
well
done, man.
Done. Well done.
Okay, so
dude,
then,
that's great.
And the next cue will be, the next picture cue will be that one that you tried to show at the beginning, but that's at the end of the show. okay, and we have Marcus Lewis at Marcus on the Ave. You know, just heard Marvel Movie News episode 104. The joy of the three of you brings joy to my heart.
Like those Marcus, I believe that I told you that it's a joy cycle. Yep. The joy of you brings joy to us, and then we bring joy to you. And this is...
It's real.
This is it's the way the world should real. Work. That's, it's not a cycle of violence. It's a cycle of joy.
That's why the live chat's so magical. We keep the, yeah. keep the love joy going.
We gotta beat those swords into plowshares, guys. Come on.
We do. We do.
And then at Jedi Time Saiyan, which is Daniel Drew, talking about Captain Marvel, y'all should watch the Avengers Assemble ep with her. What does this mean?
The Avengers Assemble cartoon.
I haven't seen this.
If it's the one that I believe you're talking about, Avengers Assemble was the one that precedes... is that the one that precedes the, what's currently going on, or is that Earth's Mightiest Heroes?
No,
I
Avengers Assemble is what's on. Earth's Mightiest Heroes
was the
previous one.
Earth's Mightiest Heroes I loved. Avengers Assemble I couldn't get into. I tried real, real hard. Wasn't a big fan. Felt like it pandered a little bit too much. But Earth's Mightiest Heroes is great. And Daniel Drew, I'm sure that Captain Marvel and Avengers Assemble is great. But Captain Marvel and Earth's Mightiest Heroes was... so good.
Oh no,
that cartoon is so good.
My computer just died.
Well, oh no. All right, well I've got got it pulled up here. So
okay, so the very
Darren Jakes, a little meme for Ed the Matt Key and the rest of Marvel News gang.
Yay.
Couldn't resist. Enjoy.
Yay. So
fantastic. Oh,
that's so good. I love it. And that is that is how I feel about Doctor Strange.
Uh-huh.
It's pretty, it's pretty dead on. All right, we do have a couple more Twitter things that came through. I'm gonna super go fast through them. Do you guys think Doctor Strange will exceed the predicted $75 million opening? I want it to, but it probably won't. Major takeaway from Doctor Strange. I can finally pronounce Caecilius properly. Hope you enjoy. I am the Vengeance. I am the Knight. 52. Thank you for that. Let's see. What kind of post-credit scene should Doctor Strange or Guardians 2 have from Iran Kihano? And he also asked, can I get a birthday shout-out? I turned 27 last Tuesday. Happy birthday, Iran! Post-credit scene, I would love to see him doing something with Scarlet Witch. That's what I want to see. That so bad. I do think that he's going to probably do something with Thor. I think that's what they were recording when it was like 177A Bleecker Street. I think that's probably going to be it, but I don't think that's a Thor, but I would love to see a Doctor Scarlet Witch. Top 3 Movie Minute at Top 3 Movie Minute says, will Doctor Strange open up opportunities for alternate versions of Captain Iron Man? Sure, possibly, but I think Marvel's also gone on the record saying that that's not what they're going to do, but it's possible. Who should be the next? Oh, we've already answered that. Sorry that I'm going through this. Mike Clark at Nonviolent69 joined the live chat on Marvel News. Saw Doctor Strange twice today, and oh my god, I loved it. Thank you. That's all.
Yeah, that's all we need to know.
In 2 weeks, we'll have seen it, and you can tweet all the spoilers at us that you want. I would recommend that you don't, because you could ruin it for someone else. Yeah. I won't care as much. So, right, left of wrong, at Lefty Wylight. First time I'm able to watch Marvel News live right now. Good time, such a fun show. Thank you, right? Hey, we appreciate that. I think that's probably all the time that we have. James Anderson, you just went and saw it. And thank you for that. And yeah, we're gonna skid a bit up. We're going on. All right.
I gotta plug a thing real fast. I'm in the Rocky Horror Picture Show this weekend, and in the movie, there's a criminologist who reads a book, and my cast and an amazing artist, Ashley Perriman Quach, instead of making it a book, made it a comic. Nice. So I am now officially, there's a superhero origin story of my character in Rocky Horror, which made me so happy, and I think that's the coolest thing.
That is very cool.
So I wanted to thank her, and this is amazing, and I will tweet it out because it's amazing. And thank you guys. And if you're in LA, if you want to come Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 8, 8, and 9, I will be there. It's at Three Clubs in Hollywood, and you guys are great, and you're all 100% Rotten Tomatoes, my heart.
Aw, that's so sweet. All right, McKay, you got anything?
Okay, yeah. Doctor Who Live, if you want to see us for free, come on Thursday at PAC Theater at 8 p.m. If you want to see us for not free, but we're part of LA Comic Con, so really big, huge thing, that'll be on the 30th, Sunday at 3 p.m. Come see Doctor Who Live, LA Comic Con, formerly known as Kamikaze, or Stan Lee's Kamikaze, and I would love to see you there in the audience. And, you know, let's chat.
Yeah. I'm getting married, so I've got nothing going on except for preparing for the wedding and then going on a honeymoon in Japan. That's pretty big.
Can I tell you something?
Do it!
I just got some big news in an email that a comic book that I wrote with my writing partner is finally going to go up on Comixology.
Whoa! That's awesome!
It's not up yet, but as soon as...
What's the name of the title?
It's called Kid Cop.
Love it.
It's really weird and dark, and it's a comedy book. But so when it comes out, I will absolutely be sharing it with you all, and hopefully it's been approved, processed, and hopefully will be up shortly.
That's nice. Awesome, Jim. Congratulations. All right, that's our show. Join us next week. We'll see you in goodbye and skidabow.
Producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, Christian Harloff, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network. We would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network. The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.
All right, hey. All right, good job, guys. Let's just not come in tomorrow. Let's just take a day.